I just want to say thank you very much for being here today. I'm going to venture to say it is our biggest in-person crowd in quite some time. So, as Kent pointed out, Sunday is the Christian Super Bowl. We need to take this number and add to it. People are going to worship next Sunday somewhere. Let's take advantage of it. And if you are thinking about, hey, I'm ready to get back, and you're at home, now's the time. We look forward to having you back next Sunday. Church, I love you. I appreciate you. Steve, awesome job today. Somebody in your family, I won't say who, but his name rhymes with Ustin Arns, said that wasn't the first time we sang that song. We sang it 25 Wednesday night. I may have added that last part in there, but no, great job today. Way to sing out beautiful, beautiful songs, beautiful words. And it is a time in our lesson now to continue to challenge ourselves to be what God wants us to be. I started last week talking about the family. I believe the family is critical. God designed the family. God doesn't make mistakes. God's plan was for the family to be united together, one man, one woman for life, to be fruitful and multiply, to raise those children up, to keep them in paradise. Obviously, the devil got in the way. The devil slithered right in. And since then, the devil has had a foothold into the family. All he needs is a little bit to slither into the crack. We're talking about moving forward this year. We do not want to be complacent spiritually. We want to take where we are. We want to pick up. Even if we've made mistakes, we want to make those right before the Lord, and we want to get up and move forward. So, how do we do that as a family? One way we do it is the way Joshua decided. In Joshua chapter 24, we just finished Joshua with our Bible Bowl students and Bible Bowl class and had the test over it. And Joshua is a great chapter. You remember it starts out at the very beginning. He was one of those, he and Caleb, that survived the wilderness. At his age, he would have died if he wouldn't have been on the committee that said, oh no, don't listen to them. We can take this land. We can go to Canaan. We can win. And so God knew that Joshua was a leader. Moses, their leader, who goes down in history as just a remarkable man, he passes away. Joshua takes over. God encourages him to be strong and courage, strong and courageous. With that, he's able to overcome great cities like Jericho. He suffers defeat, and because there's sin in the camp, when they take care of that, he goes back, and then great things happen. And it gets to around chapter 24, and Joshua is now near the end of his life. And so he gathers the people and he gives one last Gettysburg address, if you will. He gives that great speech of his in Joshua 24 and he tells them, look, you can do what you want to do. You really have freedom of choice. You can choose to worship our God. You can choose to worship the gods on the other side of the river, the gods of all those ites, right? That he talks about there. He says, but as for me and my house. He was the father. He was the head of the house the way God designed it. He made the decision for his family. He said, we will serve the Lord. In Psalm 127, verse 1, Jace came and read to us. And I'm very proud of Jace. He does a great job. And Jace also was in our Bible Bowl curriculum. And so I'm proud of him, proud of his mom and dad. But he came and read to us from Psalm 127, verse 1. I'm going to read all five of those verses, but I want you to listen to what the psalmist said about how Joshua said, as for me and my house, it's that same mindset. Here's what the psalmist said beginning in verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house. I'm going to say that one more time. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We're going to read the rest of those verses in a bit, but I want to stop right there and say this. Families today like never before in the history of America are under attack. Families today like never before. Mainly because it's so easily accessible. Mainly because there's so many distractions in 2022. The family is under attack. Now the primary role, I'm going to give you some counseling lingo today, if you will. I'm going to give you some things that I would say as a counselor to a family. But the primary role of the family, once they have children, while those children are in their home, the primary role is parenting those children. Raising those children so that they can get back, they can have a foundation built on Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the home, they labor in vain who build it. And so once that mindset is there, the goal is for those children to leave the home with a foundation that they can build their home on the foundation of Jesus Christ. This great institution of marriage that God took Adam and He took Eve and He joined them together in holy matrimony in the Garden of Eden, that design of marriage is under attack. It's under attack because of society, and that society even creeps in to the church. The family today is of critical importance. It is so vital for us to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Families can fear crime. They can fear disease. They can fear financial problems and struggles. But sometimes we get complacent when it comes to putting Jesus Christ where He needs to be. This is an important, honest question that we all need to look at the person in the mirror. I know you're in a pew right now, but think about looking in a mirror. We need to ask ourselves this: how's my family this morning? How is my family this morning? The part that I play in my family, am I doing it the way God wants it done? Is my family strong, vibrant, standing in good relationships based on love and Jesus Christ? Or is my family today filled with anger, yelling, crying, and desperation? How are our priorities? You know, if I'm going to have a house that is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it's going to move forward through closer to Jesus Christ, closer to heaven in 2022. If I'm going to do that, if I'm going to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, we're going to let God build the house, not man build the house. If that's my philosophy today, then my priority shouldn't be in question. It shouldn't matter. Nothing should come before Jesus Christ. Is my family today more on the secular side or more on the spiritual side? Our families today are under attack like never before, really, because there's more access to it. There's always been sin. There's always been Satan. Ever since he slithered into Adam and Eve's lives, there's always been there. Now we just have so much more access to sin, to struggle. You see, when it comes to moving forward spiritually, it's time for a choice. It's time for a decision. It's time to allow allow Jesus Christ to make the decisions and do the building for us. It's time for us as fathers, as heads, as mothers, as our whatever our role may be, to decide right now nothing will get in the way of me raising my children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nothing will get in the way of my marital bond to my spouse. It will be solid. It will be whatever proof, because Jesus Christ is the foundation we're building upon. Let's face it. Along the way, though, Satan's good at what he does. Why are families in 2022, 2021, the years prior and the years coming, why are they falling apart? Why are they breaking? Why are husbands and wives divorcing at an all-time high? You see, the Christian has three enemies that the Bible speaks about. Number one, the world. Secondly, our old fleshly nature. And thirdly, Satan himself. Here they are again. The world's an enemy. Our own selfish fleshly desires. And Satan himself. Satan is out to destroy us. He's out to destroy our children. He is out to destroy and split the home. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, Paul writes, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." Again, by the way, I love, you know, everybody being attentive and thoughtful for everybody, but you know me. When I hear these babies speaking out, they're just talking, by the way, to each other. When I hear, you know what I'm saying? That mama, that daddy, whoever it may be, they've got those babies there. Now, I get it. I appreciate those being mindful of others around who are trying to listen and all. But that's what it's about today. It's about filling this place up with babies, with children, with adults that are trying to get to heaven. And I'm proud of those babies talking today. And I'm proud of those mamas and those daddies having them here. But Paul said, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Families falling apart is not new. It's not. It's been going on for a long, long time. We see Satan attacking the home and the family, as we stated, way back in the Garden of Eden. He knew that this was going to be something good, didn't he? He knew that God had made it for man to not be alone. And so he formed woman, and they were going to build a bond, and they were going to lean on God. And they were going to do what Joshua did. We're going to serve the Lord. And so he said, "I've got to divide that. I've got to split it up. I've got to break up that home." He certainly hasn't changed his strategy. Satan is a liar, and he has been a liar from the beginning. He is a deceiver, he is a liar, and he's still a deceiver and liar today. Satan's goal has always been to divide and conquer. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." You think about that. Satan is willing to do whatever it takes to split up our homes today. His ways, unfortunately, are alluring. He throws a bait in the water. He knows the temperature of the water. He knows the depth of the fish. He knows everything he needs to know to get that fish, you and me, to strike. He knows your lure. He knows my lure. Unfortunately, he's very alluring. And because he's alluring, he even appears spiritual as an angel of light. But we, as Christian leaders in the home, in the church, in the community, moving our families forward, we must be walking in the truth of God's Word. If I as a husband, I as a father, put my Bible away, then I have failed not only me, but my family. I have failed my children. I have failed my wife. And today, we've got to change that. If we're going to pick up the pieces and give them to God and let Him build things back and move forward, We've got to take up the Word of God as important as anything in our lives. You see, Satan, he's going to attack and he's going to attack and he's going to do it in many ways. And we need to be aware of his schemes. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it reads like this, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Sad news alert, there's a lot of devices today. Satan uses a lot of things today to distract us. Many people today have become shallow Christians. You remember when Jesus told Peter and them to cast into the deep? Sometimes we've got to understand, I can't stay in the shallow water. Just like that child, when they're in that wading pool, they get in with their babies, they got their little swim diapers on, that huge floaty around them, everything else. We're cautious, and we should be, but we get them in that water, and they splash, and they kick. Well, eventually, the floaty comes off. Eventually, they get to their knees. Eventually, they get in deep water. Eventually, they start swimming like a fish, right? That's the mindset as a Christian. We can't just stay in the shallow water. We got to cast into the deep. Unfortunately, though, we got a lot of families that fail because they stay shallow. They're surface level. Not knowing God's Word. Being ignorant of Satan's devices. Being deceived. Walking in pride, blind to the truth. There are a lot of people today, maybe it's even you, if we're honest with ourselves, and that's what I ask you to be at the beginning. Look at that person in the mirror. Ask yourself, where am I? Am I part of my family? Am I doing it? There are a lot of folks today that we will encounter outside the church, perhaps even in the church, that are living a facade. They're living a fake life. It all looks good, but on the inside, it's crumbling and disintegrating apart. That becomes dangerous because they become discouraged. They become defeated, confused, and don't know where to turn or where to go. Again, I told you before, the home is under attack. What I'm going to tell you today are some words. I told you I was going to use some counseling terminology with you to kind of break it down and help you understand what is exactly going on and why Satan is using this to attack us. Here they are. Number one, he is using humanistic enlightenment. What does that mean? That means there is a society of people saying there is no God. There is no king. It is taking place in our secular education all around us. And all we have to do is, and listen, I'm going to say this and not try to be offensive, okay? I get we talk a lot about mobile Christian around here. I get it. And listen, I went to public school from kindergarten through my junior year. I only went to mobile Christian my senior year. So I get public school. I get it. I'm not saying anything against it. But the reason I pray for Mobile Christian, I work, because we've got some control over some things. When it comes to secular society, we've got to send our children there and they just got to learn it that way. And now, that doesn't mean I'm saying pull all your children out today. I'm just saying we've got to step up as parents. And we've got to correct all the garbage that they're being enlightened about. We've got a job to do. Humanism is a system of thought that centers on human beings and their value, capacities, and worth, and their capacity for truth and goodness apart from God. We see this so-called enlightenment constantly in the teaching of things like evolution. How about Kate Millett? She was a key figure in what is known as this woman's movement, okay? She wrote a book called Sexual Politics. She says in her book, "The family must go because it is the family that has oppressed and enslaved women." She would look at God and call Him sexist. She would look at God and call Him chauvinistic because He made man head of the household. Again, now we have the biblical reason why. Paul told us woman fell first. We see it in Genesis, and Paul later told Timothy that. But the reality is, it doesn't matter if I think it's wrong or not, it's God's plan. Now, I talked last week what that meant. I talked last week what it means for husbands to be head of the household, wives to be in submission. I won't recap that. Go back and listen to last week if you have questions, or I'll talk to you later. But the point behind it is this. We have a responsibility because this type of garbage, turn on the news and see if that's not happening, is happening every day in the classroom. Every day. Maybe not here, but somewhere in society. There's a book entitled The Death of the Family. Isn't it sad that these things are out there? Death of the Family. We find this quote in that book. The best thing society could do is abolish the family altogether. Now, let me tell you this. You're going to say, well, that's never going to happen. And listen, I agree. There's going to be enough conservative people, Bible-based people, that will always carry the family until Christ returns. I believe that. But if you think it's where it was in the 30s, we're sadly mistaken. There used to be, what is family? What is the nuclear family? One man, one woman for life. Raising a couple children along the way. That was nuclear family. Now try to define what the family is based on society. We can't even define what man and woman is because we're not biologists, I guess. But that was a jab. But anyhow, the point is, We've got to be careful. We've got to be smart. This is what Satan is using. He's not using a fruit anymore. He's using your babies. He's using my babies. The humanistic thought, humanistic enlightenment, do whatever you want as a human. It's all about you. Seen on television. It's an education institution. Almost everywhere in society. What else is he using today? He's using a moral philosophy. A moral philosophy. What does that mean? There's no accountability. There's no restraints. There's no standards. In other words, I'm boss and I'll do whatever and whatever I want and whatever I please. Listen. There was a saying that went around some time ago. I'm probably dating it now. I still see it occasionally. It's called YOLO. Is that right? You only live once. Hey, YOLO, man. Just do whatever you want to do. You only live once. Well, if you think about that, that's pretty scary. Do whatever you want to do. Because, man, you only live once. You just got to go play it up, party it up, have it again. That could be used in a positive way. I'm not saying that. But for a long time, that was going around. Now, with all the social media and everything else, I mean, TikTok has got a lot of crazes out there that people are doing and crazy stuff. I couldn't tell you because I don't have it. But at the end of the day, I know it's out there. And the attitude is, do whatever you want. You control you. Nobody controls you. You're your own boss. In other words, God's standard of one man and one woman for one lifetime is being redefined in society. I'm not saying in the church, even though in some churches I'm afraid it is. But it's being redefined. Perverted lifestyles are redefining the home and marriage. I would like to tell you that's brand new, but it's not. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. We could go on and see that it was men loving men, women loving women. Now society is saying, hey, you're your own boss. You do whatever you want. It's okay to be married to the same sex. there is a movement trying to teach that to grades 3 and younger. We going to wake up? Are we going to listen? This is what I'm saying. The church is under attack. The family is under attack. Not only that, but there is a movement amongst teenagers that have no shame in living together. Even when I was teaching now, it seems like 100 years ago, I would hear teenagers say, I don't know if I don't live with them, I don't know if I can live with them 50 years. And that was 100 years ago. What is it in 2022? There's been opportunities to teach on that, and there's been and people have gotten mad because we called out their babies over living together. Now people are okay with, you know what, I'll go and cheat on my spouse and there's no big deal. No big deal. In other words, we're just going to kind of live in an open relationship. Let me tell you, that's a big deal in my household. And I hope it's a big deal in yours. The immoral invasion has come into the home. It's a philosophy that is poisoning our families today. Thirdly, there's a media invasion. So what Satan's doing now, he's dropping bombs on us all the time. Humanistic ways, immoral ways, and now the media. We used to say television and radio, didn't we? Well, that's broadened. Television, internet, social media, etc. I am so thankful for DVRs because I get sick and tired of the commercials they drive down my throat. I am tired of seeing homosexual couples portraying love and then they talk about AIDS and everything else. I'm so tired of that. But the media is invading. Television portrays a world of alternative lifestyles where sin abounds as being cool. Drug use, alcohol use, sinful lifestyle, sexual immorality, all portrayed in a positive, fun, let's do it, you only live once kind of way. That's what's going on in television, internet, social media, streaming, whatever the platform is. Television, internet, especially the internet, busting at the seams, promoting pornography. I was watching a show with my wife and my son. Madeline was probably in and out. And one of the commercials is a shoe commercial. And they're trying to sell shoes. But there is a female who is very scantily clad selling on their advertising. They will show a picture of her and then they'll say, buy these shoes. I couldn't tell you what the name of the brand is, but that is what is selling today. Now, I'm sweating up here. It's hot. Roll my sleeves up because the temperature's up because these are not fun things to talk about. But heaven knows we got to talk about them. And we got to preach on it. And we got to be aware of it. Pornography has become a multi-billion dollar industry. It's oftentimes single-handedly destroying our families and our homes. I mentioned the divorce rate earlier. You know what it is? Amongst evangelical Christians, right at 50%. These things are desynthesizing our minds. You know what a callus is, right? You work, use a shovel, do whatever, work with your hands, it blisters up, it hurts, right? That blister, it reminds you, man, I did some work today. But after a while, the more we do, the more that callus grows over it, we don't feel it anymore. We might feel it in other places, but not in our hands. Because it's become calloused. Well, that's what is happening in society. It's becoming calloused. There's one other I want to talk with you about today. And that is the bomb of the secular mindset. Here's what Satan says about that. More things, more choices, more activities, and less time for God. That's what he's doing. It's so sad when the secular mindset of the world infiltrates the Christian home. The family today in society is living in a giant ocean of information. But we're drowning in choices, activities, and things. We never catch up. We need bigger. We need better. We need faster. We need greater. We need newer. We need better features. All that leads to the feeling of being overwhelmed, exhausted, defeated, stressed out, and depressed. The average worker alone commutes 157,600 miles in a lifetime. That's six times around the earth. Many would survey and say, spending time with the family and friends, that's my top priority. Yet families never seem to achieve this worthy goal. In fact, in homes with teenagers, the father, according to statistics, spends less than 15 minutes per week in worthwhile interaction with their teenage child. Mark Twain said this about teenagers. He said on raising children, once when they become teenagers, put them in a barrel and feed them through the knot hole. When they turn 16, stop up the knot hole. James Dobson said, child rearing is like baking a cake. You know James Dobson? Focus on the family, James Dobson. He said, child rearing is like baking a cake. You don't realize you have a disaster until it's too late. Hopefully it's not too late. Hopefully we're spending more than 15 minutes with our teenagers in worthwhile interaction. But we got to ask ourselves, are any of these things, any of these four bombs we just dropped, a problem in my family? Got a lot of baseball kids in here, softball. Love baseball. I've been seeing lately, so-and-so hit a home run, so we're going to hit some home runs right now, okay? So maybe the kids will remember this one. We're going to hit a home run in the home. How do we do that? I'll give you two ways and it'll be yours. First thing we got to do today in order to change things. Maybe we've struck out three times. But our fourth at bat now, we're going to stay in there. We're going to hit a home run. Here's the first thing I got to do. I got to realize the problem. It hurts to be honest, doesn't it? Sometimes it does. Sometimes, out of love, you can point out the problem, and because the person is trying to make themselves feel better, they will ridicule you. And that happens. But what I need you to do now is not put the blame anywhere but on us if we've got issues with this. And we need to look ourselves in the mirror and say, am I the problem? And what can I do to do it better? It's been said if you're having problems and difficulty with your children, the parents normally blame the church, the youth group, their teacher, their school. Yet the problem usually lies with the parents and the child. God ordained marriage. He placed a priority upon the marriage of the mother and father to oversee their household. The responsibility lies with moms and dads. If children are not turning out the way we like them to, it's not Justin Barnes' fault. It's not the elders' fault. Alright, let me say it about this. If Terry Cagle's children do not turn out spiritually, you guys haven't failed them. I have. The very first step in reclaiming the family today is to wake up and be alert and change whatever needs to be changed. Romans 13:11. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We cannot bury our heads in the sand and sleep through being a spouse and being a parent. We can't go to sleep one day and wake up when they graduate high school. We can't just play the blame game. That is the easiest thing in the world to do. Kids do that all the time, don't they? Well, so-and-so did it. But Adam and Eve did it, remember? Adam's fault. No, it's Eve's fault. No, it's Satan's fault. No, God, it's your fault. The woman you gave me. We can't play the blame game. We've got to quit making excuses. We can't be best friends with our children all the time. We've got to wake up and realize the devil is real and he's really coming after our family. And we've got to be ready. Second thing we've got to do if we're going to hit this home run, we've got to realize God provides. We got to realize the problem, then realize God provides. When we know there's a problem, then we need to know that God has an answer to the problem, no matter how serious the problem may be. Sometimes we might try to spend a lifetime doing things our way, but you know what in the end will happen? We will fail miserably. It needs to be said again, Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds our home, everything we do will be in vain. Unless the Lord builds our home, we will experience turmoil, anguish, and despair. Unless the Lord builds our home, our best intentions and plans will fail. Unless the Lord builds our home, we will not know that our God, in His instruction manual, the Bible, provides the solution to every problem we will ever encounter. Today, whatever role you have in your family, are you hitting a home run? If you're hitting a home run, keep on batting. Keep on swinging. If you're here today and you've been striking out, the good news is that can all change today. Today, you can decide whatever role your family you are in your family, you can decide right now, I'm going to be obedient to the gospel. Maybe you've got sin in your life. Maybe it's been done in a public way. Maybe we need to get it out. We need to come forward. We need to be prayed over. Today, let's all hit home runs. Let's move forward. Let's be what God wants us to be as together we stand and sing.